The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White. Joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited for today's conversation. I think it's going to be an amazing opportunity to give marketers some really practical advice about how to think about something that marketing kind of always gets charged with, but maybe sometimes hasn't done before. Like, you know, I know some very senior marketers that are in that have been in roles for decades, and then all of a sudden they're like, "You're in charge of a product launch."
And then, what do you do?
It's kind of different, right? It's a little sliver of marketing that I'm really interested in peeling back today.
Yeah, no, I'm really interested in it as well. And you're quite right. You know, it's although manufacturers probably over-index in the frequency of new product launches, it is still an area that is not necessarily well understood or well optimized for a lot of marketers.
Yeah, and a lot of marketers working for a manufacturer maybe have 20 years experience working in marketing, but maybe only a year experience working on the manufacturing side or something. So yeah.
Cool. Well, joining us today is Stu Akala. Stu is the Senior Marketing Manager at Marmon Holdings. Welcome to the Cooler Ring, Stu.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Glad you could be here.
Yeah, Stu, it's awesome to have you on the show. Let's kick things off with understanding a little bit more about who you are and maybe an introduction to Marmon Holdings along the way as well, if you would, for our listeners.
Sure, absolutely. Well, again, my name is Stu Akala, and I'm a B2B marketer who have been working for about 15 years now solely in industrial marketing. Today I head up marketing for three companies today. Canon Equipment, LA Darling, and Unarco Industries, which are all part of Marmon Holdings, which is a Berkshire Hathaway company with about 120 businesses across the world. So for the companies that I lead marketing with today, we're all about helping major retailers, thinking about brands like Walmart, Kroger, Amazon, all about helping to streamline their operations and really elevate that customer experience. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the products, things like shopping carts, stocking carts, really high-end product displays. So many of the things that, you know, the average customer is not looking at during their weekly trip when they're going in through a store, but they definitely would notice if they're gone. And they're really important for helping retailers do their operations day in, day out. So I've been with the company now for about 7 years, and it's been a really good stop for me.
Nice. And it's one of those things that you're quite right. If it wasn't there, there would be chaos, but you don't notice it when it's working well. And that's what success looks like.
Exactly.
Pretty interesting product category that way.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I find it always fascinating how many conversations with B2B manufacturing marketers start with. You see the impact of what we do every day, and you have no idea that we exist. I mean, it just, it's a story almost as old as time at this point. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. And, you know, when I talk to colleagues in different industries, you know, yeah, you go into certain places and you look at them completely differently than everybody else. My wife, it's painful for her to go into a store with me now because, you know, I'm looking at all the displays and carts. It's a sickness a lot of B2B marketers have.
It's a good way of getting out of that co-ed shopping duty.
Yeah. But it's also the curse of the wife of a graphic designer.
Would you look at the kerning on that? It's horrible.
It's terrible. I can't enjoy this experience now.
For sure.
Well, Stu, we want to kind of peel back your approach to product launches because you've launched an awful lot of products in your career, and you've kind of taken it on as a bit of a bit of a specialty and something that you really focus on. And I think there's a lot for our listeners to learn, and frankly, there's a lot for me to learn today in this conversation. I wonder. And Jeff mentioned earlier, you know, manufacturers certainly over-index in the introduction of new products. It's largely what they do is develop and innovate new products and then launch them onto an unsuspecting public in some way, shape, or form. What do you think is, it's a playbook that's been around a while. So what do you think it is that they get most wrong with it? Like when you kind of look at the product launch landscape, what's the biggest gap that you're seeing there?
Yeah. So, you know, you're exactly right. You know, industrial companies, when it comes to new product development, I mean, they spend a significant amount of time, money, effort, tears to getting these products to market. And, you know, so oftentimes they bring great products to market, but, you know, they still struggle to gain traction. And, you know, I think we all know product launches can fall short for a large number of reasons, right? So, you know, poor product market fit, they lack differentiation, maybe they get the cost wrong, whatever it may be. But what I don't think it's talked enough is just launching products well to begin with. So, you know, if there's one thing I've learned is that, you know, having a great product today isn't enough. You still have to have a great go-to-market plan that gets that product noticed. It gets in front of the right people that you need to jumpstart that conversation. And of course, ultimately communicating that product value effectively. So it's not a set it and forget it activity, right? It's an important process that is touched on, but I think a lot of industrial companies can take the next step and go further.
I think a lot of the marketers that we've spoken to on this show and manufacturers that we've worked with, it's not uncommon for a marketer to be one of the people bringing new ideas to engineering about new products. You know, maybe they've heard from customers or features that people are looking for. So, you know, they're involved sometimes in product development at a very early stage. But it feels to me like that then probably drops off until the product has actually been figured out and tested and you know, ready to go to launch, and then they're brought back in. How much earlier should somebody be part of that product life cycle as it comes to launch, you know, as a marketer, as a salesperson? You know, how early do you need to bring them in?
Excellent. So, you know, when I'm talking, I'm always thinking from really a product marketer standpoint. And in the organizations I've been with today, there's typically a product management team up front, which is really leading the way, especially on the front end of a new product development project. And then I'm more on the back end, right? What we're talking about with the actual product launch. I like to think of it this way, in that model that I just mentioned there, you know, product management is leading the way to get it on the shelf. And as a product marketer, I'm helping lead the way on getting it off the shelf. So my involvement in the beginning of a new product development project is probably going to be more of a, you know, a consultant or giving an influencer. I might be able to give bits of information about, hey, you know, the last product launch we did, these were some things that we learned. Maybe there's, you know, we can look from what is searched on our website often, or SEO, whatever may input for the product manager in developing that initial business case to justify bringing a product in. Now, as far as when my work takes place to actually start with product launch preparation activities, it's probably going to be about halfway through that project. And when I'm staying connected throughout, but I'm really going to start really ramp up my work once we start to really have confidence that this thing's going to get to market. Because we know not every product is going to make it to market. So once we have that, confidence that that's going to happen, that's when I start inserting myself. And that's when I'm going to start beginning to develop my go-to-market plan and communicate to others the inputs that I'm going to need in order to make that product launch happen. This is also, too, where you start communicating the time frame that's going to be required to really do this well, because we know, you know, there's going to be multiple inputs to make that thing happen. And lastly, too, sometimes you have a hard date that you want to launch this thing, like a trade show, right? You know, the biggest industry trade show. You want to talk about bringing stress into a marketer's life when you put a hard date like that in, that can influence it too. So, yeah, I think it's important on a marketing team to insert themselves. If they aren't already a part of it, insert themselves, be very clear about when this thing's going to get to market, and then make the necessary planning and communication about what you're going to need in order to do it well.
So as you talk about the importance of the go-to-market plan, I'm just wondering you'll be having, what's the secret sauce there? I mean, of course, you know, people like easy to get behind the notion of planning, but is there one part of your GTM planning and a product launch that you kind of point to say, you know, this is something that we really get right or we spend extra time on because it's critically important?
Yes, that's great. Well, first, let me just step back for a moment because, you know, so oftentimes when I talk with people about the go-to-market plan, oftentimes I think they get it mixed up with the business case. And those are different animals to me. So as, you know, as I mentioned before, the business case is all about upfront justifying, should we actually make investments to bring this thing to market? Whereas the go-to-market plan, like I mentioned, is a little bit of later in the process. So, you know, the go-to-market plan to me, that's ultimately the North Star for that product launch. And if you're doing things right, that's probably where you're going to spend the most time is getting that honed in, because once you do, it makes your life a lot easier. And some of the things that is going to be defined in that is, first off, I think about, for example, getting crystal clear on your target audience. Because early on in the process, you might have general a market, or, you know, in general, you know, what companies might want it. But once you get later on with your go-to-market planning, you should have a much clearer focus on what specific companies, what specific job titles are probably going to be experiencing the most pain and might want to reach out and stick their neck out for you and bring you in and be a champion. You talk about special sauce. I mean, one of the things I think it's overlooked are proof points to the benefits that you list, or simply put, reasons to believe. I mean, we're all getting hammered with a million marketing messages every day. Going that extra step to get that third-party validation, testing, social proof, you know, video, those sorts of things can be really important. And certainly so many other things, your key messaging, detailing your sales and marketing tools that you want to develop. So, you know, again, ultimately, I think product launch is a team sport. You need a lot of people to make it happen. When you have that tool together too, it becomes an excellent communication tool, not only with your colleagues, but also at the leadership level, to have give them clear line of sight of what you're doing and how you're driving to get at the objectives of the project. And at the end of the day too, it just saves time and headaches, and you're not reinventing the wheel each time you get the opportunity to launch a product.
Stu, I've got a, I think it's an interesting question. We'll see. You know, a lot of times when you're thinking about go to market for a particular product, you're doing so either into an existing category or an existing customer base that is expecting something like this. Maybe you're bringing some differentiated features or whatever. I'd like to know how you think about products that, something we've encountered sometimes with manufacturers, are products that are either ahead of their time or, you know, are solving a problem in a different way that maybe people aren't searching for yet, or don't necessarily know that this solves an issue that hasn't necessarily been solved before. So, you know, I'm wondering, how do you talk about things when people don't necessarily know that they're looking for it versus something that, you know, fits in a category that is relatively easy to explain?
Yeah. You know, what that makes me think is, you know, I think I've had an example before where we were almost trying to create a category and that can be so challenging, right? And I almost think for me personally, it's almost a last resort, to be honest, because there is a lot of leverage to try to piggyback on where, you know, customers already have, you know, an established understanding of, you know, what different products do and all that. If I'm in that situation where I have to create a category or really try to sell something that's truly unique, I mean, we'd be doing a lot from an education standpoint. And certainly in an industrial world too, we have oftentimes physical things you can look at. So I like, for me, I would certainly want to be leveraging video as much as I can. Also too, you know, really tying back to not just here's this thing and all of its features, but tying back to their jobs and what they're trying to accomplish and trying to put it back in those terms. Those are the initial things that come to mind of what I would do in that situation.
I think that that makes a ton of sense too. Like the notion of it's a time when you need some creative shorthand to communicate in a wider, like you say, there's more education required. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have more time to do it. So you need to find ways to be efficient there. When you mentioned video as a key tactic, that just resonated with me. That makes sense. I wonder, kind of it's on a similar note, I suppose, but we're kind of knocking on the door of this when we talk about launching a product that kind of is in a new category or maybe doesn't have a pent-up existing demand and a space for it. It kind of speaks a little bit to the notion of how close customers or prospects were involved in the development of the product to begin with. So I guess as you reflect on the vast number of product launches that you've done, my guess is, because you do it for a number of different businesses over different times, that they've had different levels of customer intimacy, if you will, in their product development. Have you noticed any correlation between how easy it is to launch these things when based upon customer involvement in their development? Does it follow the, of course, pattern of the more your involved customers in it, the easier it is to launch, or is it maybe more nuanced than that?
Well, it certainly helps to have customer involvement up front. And I know for us, for sure, I agree. When you have maybe a partner in the development, that can absolutely increase the success. Not only because, of course, yes, you have potentially a customer waiting, but then you can get a testimonial, a case study, you can get some photography in use that can go a long way from a building credibility for your product launch. And, I find too, when you had those development partners, oftentimes these people are passionate about your product launch. They become invested, right? And they are, they can't wait to see this thing come to light. They become huge advocates for you in these organizations. And of course, too, I think when you have that customer input along the way, too, that can really just decrease risk across the board. The messaging, you're able to actually maybe get some hours of it in use in an actual application. So it builds confidence that way. But regardless, if you're getting, it's best practice across the board, of course, in new product development to have customer involvement in new product development, no doubt. And if they don't necessarily become customers, that's okay. But having them involved, no matter what, is going to help both on the product side and the marketing side.
Changing gears a little bit, Stu, I wonder, because most of the people listening to this podcast are manufacturing marketers. So you're working on the marketing side and, you serve the entire organization, yes, but you certainly serve sales in a product launch capacity. It's one of your key stakeholders. In your experience, what is it that, what is it that sales is needing from marketing that they may not be getting in a product launch scenario? Or how ought you be thinking about what sales really needs in order to make this successful?
Yes. Sales teams, of course, are so critical for a product launch. And, in my experience, I think an opportunity for industrial marketing teams is so oftentimes training with a sales team is so centered solely on the product itself. And no doubt, they need to know that thing inside and out. I think about so many product trainings, in-person product trainings with sales teams. You bring in your engineering, new product development, product management. These people have passionate and know these things inside and out and do a great job of explaining that to sales teams. But it can't stop there. When I lead a product training, I'm really thinking about three components. The first one is, yes, the product training itself. You want them to know this thing inside and out. The second thing, though, is the actual sales training. So how do we actually help them, for example, identify an ideal customer for this product? A lot of these sales guys, they're going to have huge territories. They're time stretched. Help them identify who's going to be most likely to really benefit from this. Also help them overcome anticipated objections. We already know a couple of those things that are come up. Help them with a clear message on what we want to say to overcome that. Also, help them understand how to really leverage sales tools effectively. And that's the third component of a good product training. Not just say, hey guys, here's a bunch of stuff, go sell, but really give the rationale behind, okay, how did you go about developing that sell sheet and the messaging? Talk about the video and the types of things you were looking to accomplish there. That white paper that's maybe available for that technical buyer, walk through that and explain it step by step. So, you know, I think those three components is important. Product training, sales training, and explaining the sales and marketing tool can really go a long way because, you know, ultimately you want the sales team to leave with a lot of confidence that because, I mean, anybody that has to sell something has to have that. And especially when you're giving them something new, we're not very confident at first to go talk to the relationships that they have with their key customers. We want to leave them there with that confidence they need to sell.
Is there anything that's unique about situations? A lot of manufacturers have, large banks of existing customers and much of their ongoing revenue is selling new products into that same customer base versus finding net new prospects. Is there anything that is unique about selling a new product launch into more of an existing customer base than kind of looking for net new prospects? Are you ever breaking it down in that way?
Yeah. For every product launch I'm doing, I mean, step one is you want to try to sell your existing customers. We all know that that's the greatest opportunity to begin with. When we were talking about trying to find, for example, testing partners, those are the folks I'm probably going to be looking to first. That's where our sales team partnerships are. And, you know, things like, for example, email, right? Hopefully, if we've done our homework, they're in our CRM. So I'm hopeful that we're going to have the best likelihood to reach those folks with the introduction of our products. And then there's times and a vast majority of products is we got to go acquire new customers too, thinking about demand generation, which can be more challenging, right? And that's where your programs of maybe things that you're doing from a digital marketing standpoint, you know, paid ads, maybe your trade, as I said, trade shows, whatever it may be to go get those customers. So, yeah, I mean, I am thinking about them as two separate groups for sure. And when I'm going down the list of sales and marketing tools and tactics we're going to do, I'm thinking about how am I going to attract both those audiences.
As you're talking about the sales and marketing tools and the sales tools in particular, I guess it feels to me like product launch requires marketers to maybe be a little bit more in tune with selling, a little more in tune with sales than maybe some other versions of marketing, if you will. Like, you know, if you're developing a piece of sales collateral that's going to be actually used by a sales team and not just put on a shelf and they roll their eyes because it's all marketing speak. Any tips of the trade, if you will, to really making that sing? It feels to me like that might be an area where some marketers could use some help.
I agree. And you're right. Unfortunately, there can be a bit of a divide. You know, you said the marketing speak, which, right, that's true. Where, yeah, the sales team is like, wait, what is it that you're, why are you making this for me? So, I mean, there's two things that come to mind for me. You know, one is in my career, I've done a lot of ride-alongs with sales teams. And man, there is nothing that can give you a better view of their day-to-day job than being next to them. And there's all those, you know, those hours of windshield time when you're getting to know folks and you're asking questions. I mean, right there, it's about building relationship, I think, to start with, which is really important. I think the second thing too is, you know, having spent all that time being in those conversations with customers helps me develop better tools for sure. But even before then, before I go about expending a bunch of time, energy, and money, I connect with my sales team and say, hey guys, this is what I have coming. This is what I'm developing here based on ABC. I can also give some rationale. We're developing this because of we need to explain this to our customer base. Maybe it's complicated, whatever it may be. So I think building that relationship as well as getting giving them a heads up ahead of time on what's coming, and also just asking honestly, are you going to use this thing? Because I know we all, you know, sales teams might nod their heads and go, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, ask, you know, are you going to be, how often you see yourself using this? Are you going to be using this often? Is this more of a nice to have? Is it, I can't quite know, but it'd be a nice. I think it's important to just get to ask those questions.
Stu, that's an amazing bit of advice. I think that it's, it's one thing for, you're right, people will nod, like, it sounds great, like I will take more stuff than less stuff, like more tools to help me sell versus less tools, I'll take more. But then when you ask the pointed question, do you see yourself using this?
And how?
And would you be comfortable and enthusiastic to use this with your best customer?
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden, my guess is they're going to be a bit more honest with you.
Yeah. I think too, one other last thing I'll mention as well is, you know, what I typically do is before a product launch is you start with one piece. It's maybe the product page, sell sheet, one sales deck, whatever it is, get that super tight. And then you can kind of cascades out into the rest of the pieces that you're doing. So when you spend time on that initial piece, and get show it around, not only the sales folks, engineering, et cetera. Now you got some buy-in, you know what's coming, and then you can start running and things get more efficient that way too. So once again, another way to give them buy-in and feel like, yeah, that's something that's right on track that makes sense to tell customers.
How long are you typically running a new product launch? Like, is it a multi-quarter thing? You know, what do you sort of see as, okay, now that thing is working and we move on to the next? Like, is there a cadence to that?
Yeah. So, you know, for the three companies that I'm managing with, they all have different product roadmaps. So, you know, products are getting to market at all different times. So there's not a perfect rhyme or reason that way. But once they do come to market, you know, I think especially when it just comes to B2B, you got to play the long game when it comes to product launches. I look at, we've all seen the bits of research that, in B2B marketing, your target audience, maybe 5% are actually in immediate buy mode for your solution. So, and we know sales cycles can be really long in B2B marketing too. You know, it's 6-12 months, gosh, even longer in some of the businesses here at Marmot. I think you have to play the long game there in trying to stay in front of your audience to build that awareness, hopefully build some trust and begin that sales cycle.
Kind of strikes me that when we think about that notion of 5% of B2B buyers being in market at any given time, long sales cycles, seems like it might be a recipe that it might be pretty easy to spend too much on the big splash at launch. Do you see people doing that? Like, is it better to spend the money on 8 months of mini splashes, if you will, versus
better to burn out than fade away?
Yeah, I don't know. Like you mentioned before about this notion of we're pushing towards the deadline, the big trade show, the biggest one. All that seems like it's a one and done type of thing. It's probably a recipe for inefficiency.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think, man, on one hand, I think, you know what? You want to make a lot of noise out of the gates to have people listen up about what it is about your product. But at the same time, right, you don't want to trickle off in a couple of months and now you've used up all your budget or you don't know how to keep the momentum going. Now, there's a lot of ways to get creative that way, right? I mean, we can take our messaging, we can recycle it, we can approach things differently, we can get creative with it for sure. But I know I have to say my answer is both. I want to try to make an impact out of the gate, but right, don't get lost over time. It's tough, no doubt.
That's the marketer that just wants more budget, right?
Yeah.
That's
what we're but I mean, when you're launching a product that has a 12-month average sales cycle, it you know, it's hard to show sometimes those initial metrics of the impact of the launch when most people are going to vote with their wallet in a year.
Yeah. And I think that's too is, you know, and having done this long enough too, is to set that expectation too with teams and explaining, just like I said, hey, we may not get, we may not come quick out of the gates in the first several weeks, right? Explaining, like I just mentioned, that it's going to take some time. We have to play the long game. And, you know, I think too, you know, when a product launch happens, I'm always trying to stay engaged with my commercial team, or typically the sales team as well, as let's get those tidbits of progress that we're seeing, like the, you know, and hopefully we're marking those conversations that are set. Hopefully, you know, there's some demos, there's reach outs, you know, all the different metrics that we're looking for, which are signals that we're headed in the right direction. But of course, ultimately we're gearing towards revenue.
Stu, this has been a great conversation. I really enjoyed having you on the show. And I'm, just as we bring the discussion to a close, I guess I don't want to date myself too much, but I've been in this business now for a few decades. And there are things that, you know, when you learn them like three quarters of the way along or something, right? You're like, really? It took me that long to figure this thing out? So I wonder, you've been doing product launches for a while. Is there anything that jumps out to you as like, wow, like, man, it was only on, like, I was 60% of my way through my product launch career before I found out X, but that's really important. I'm just kind of curious, is there one of those things that sits out in your mind that as a key learning about product launches that you wish maybe didn't take you as long to learn?
Oh, geez. You know, I think for me, you know, as I said, I had this natural interest in product launch and I dove into it. And, but what I realized after I was learning so much about this, it applies to so many things in marketing, so many campaigns, not just new products, but there's always so many opportunities to relaunch existing products or campaigns or just anything where you're trying to get attention. This toolbox, this process of a go-to-market plan and all the things that I mentioned can be applied in so many different ways. And, you know, we're always so excited about new product launches all the time, but, you know, I think we lose sight that, you know, not everybody is waking up each day thinking about our entire portfolio of products. So we know that, there's products in our catalog that, you know, maybe they launched a couple of years ago. Okay, let's set up a new campaign to get attention on it and maybe go at it at a different angle, or just use the learnings that you maybe had during the initial push. And now we can do a new campaign from some different perspective. So, you know, learning to launch products effectively, yes, it's good for new product launch, but man, does it work across in a lot of different ways.
Fantastic, Stu. Thanks so much for joining us on The Cooler Ring today. It's been great.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.